moments that you're going to share and you'll be sharing. I just want to say a few words, and but the children is preparing some gift to give to our mothers, but they're not ready yet. So we'll wait for that moment to really acknowledge all the mothers and ladies who give love like a mother. And I'm very blessed because there's one who's blessed and raised by a wonderful mother. My mother, since she became a Christian, she prayed for me every day, morning, afternoon, and night. And I'm also the one that experienced the grace of God every day by marrying to a wonderful mother too, my wife. So I'm excited about Mother's Day, and the excitement sometimes carry you away. But anyway, but today I want to take a moment and acknowledge that mothers are a big part of our lives. Amen? A big part. And I want to share with you a message on this Mother's Day entitled Woman of Faith. Okay? Woman of Faith. Now, it is to honor the mothers. I know some of us are not mothers, we are still single, but that motherhood, that divinely given quality that birthed into us from above by God, really in us. And we're going to spend today in our message celebrating womanhood from the Bible. So we're going to look at Genesis 24, okay? And we just read this couple passage from Genesis 24 about a woman called Rebecca, okay? She is a woman of faith, okay? And but let me start by asking this question in the beginning. Can God really use me? You know, I think this is a question oftentimes I ask, and many of us we ask. We often ask, is our life of any eternal significance? Can I become a man or woman of faith? You know. So this morning we're going to look at a passage and how God took a young woman named Rebecca and prepared her and transformed her in order to work through her for God's glory. And in Genesis 24, we have a glimpse into the character of this very unique woman called Rebecca and how God prepared her and transformed her to the woman of faith that God wanted her to be. And actually the spiritual principles in her lives and how God worked through her lives really can apply to us all, single or married, man or woman that delighted to become a person of faith. And if we study Genesis 24 of this passage, often we only focus on the lessons of how to find God's guidance or to find a spouse, you know, the dream of your life, you know. But there are certainly they are there, but there's much more, because it calls us to bow and worship the Lord of God as we marvel at God's sovereign plan in every detail of everyone's life. And like Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 to 5, remember what it said? It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, what? Acknowledge Him, right? And He will make your path straight. This is the guiding principle. So let's think about Rebecca and learn what do we know about her from the scripture, and not what does her life tell us about becoming a woman of faith. First of all, from the passage, we notice that Rebecca is beautiful. So a woman of faith is beautiful, outside and inside. Okay? Because in verse 16a, it said the girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. Now, this text tells us Rebecca had both an outward physical beauty as well as an inward moral beauty. For, because she was still a virgin. Now, let me say a little bit about this moral purity, this moral beauty of Rebecca. Now, Rebecca is a beauty. She has a stunning look, and yet she is a virgin. Now we may assume that there has been quite a lot of men or young boys who are attracted by her beauty and try to get her to bed with them, right? But she was saving herself and her body for the one man who would commit to her in marriage for life. Now, this is a very noble idea today, in this 21st century, right? We need to create a counterculture of Rebeccas and men as well. We need to save ourselves from the trend of this world, from all these images that bombard our minds every day. We need to save ourselves in purity until marriage. Now, if we have failed, God understood. Let us cling to God's forgiveness and mercy and stand up again and show the right direction for people who may be tempted to fail. Now, let me say a little bit about this point. Rebecca being a person of faith, okay, about her physical beauty. Now, every society, you agree with me, put a premium on a woman's outward beauty, right? Every society, even our society. And this emphasis can cause other virtues, inner beauty, and abilities to be ignored or minimized. Therefore, we need to create a biblical understanding of physical beauty. I think today we lack of it, quite lack of it, which includes both appreciation of beauty as a gift of God and also a cautious restraint, a discipline towards beauty. For beauty is not an end to itself, nor is it the most important attribute of our life. Should we appreciate a physical beauty of women? Yes, because it's one of God's gifts, right? It's a gift. Remember, it's not everything we earn or deserve or given by society, but it's a gift divinely given to every woman that he created, right? A woman's beauty can point to the beauty of our Creator, right? When I look at the eyes of my daughter, I say, oh, your eyes are so beautiful. It's true, because God created them, right? And Psalms 27, verse 4 said, the gaze upon the beauty of our Lord. Our Lord is beautiful. Gaze upon the Lord, and you appreciate and be marveled by the beauty of the Lord. And it also brings delight to others. So we should have a healthy understanding and self-image of being created as a beautiful masterpiece of God. You know? And the word beautiful is used in the Songs of Songs as the lovers talk to each other. As in chapter 1, verse 15, it said, the man said to her love, say, how beautiful you are, my darling. So Chinese people usually are very reserved. They don't really express that. But it's a God-given a virtue to express that to someone you really appreciate, especially your spouse or your family member. And also, the gift of beauty can be used by God's opportunities for noble service. Think of Esther, the queen, remember? She was used of God to help save the Jews from extinction. If you study the book of Esther, right? Because the king was attracted to her beauty in the first place. At the same time, we should caution towards physical beauty, because remember Proverbs chapter 31 verse 30 reminds us what? Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. All right? I think when you reach the age of 55 or 60, you really understand what it meant, right? A woman who fears the Lord, he continues to say, is to be praised. So there is a permanent beauty, there's a shining, stunning beauty reside in the fear of the Lord, more than anything else. So a woman's physical beauty at times can become a liability. Remember that. Provoking jealousy. Right? Like Genesis 26, when Rebekah's husband, Isaac, thinks someone would kill him to be able to take his beautiful wife, Rebekah, he lied about their relationship, right? So we also see that in the case of the two sisters, when Rachel is beautiful, but her older sister, Leah, is of different uniqueness, right? So Proverbs 11:22 also tells us that a beautiful woman who lacks discretion is like a gold ring in one of the animals, in the pig's nose. What a picture. I haven't seen that in real life, but I can think about that. Think about that, you know, you see a beautiful woman being commercially used to advertise beers, cars, you know, or anything else. It's like that. So the physical beauty of a woman should be appreciated, should be praised, should be treasured, but also should be cautiously restrained because it also can cause problems. Like for David. David fell into sin because of the beauty of Bathsheba. David's son Absalom, okay, and Solomon, who had so many foreign wives, right? So we must temper our appreciation of the gift of a woman's beauty with a cautious restraint and the fear of God towards it. So there are a couple passages that on this point we should keep in mind. To godly ladies and wives, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 5 said, your beauty, if you can see it, read this out together with me, okay? It's wonderful. A scripture to keep in mind. Let's read together. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as plaited hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. Now, a scripture to men and husbands, Ephesians chapter 5, 25 to 27. Let's read this together if you can see it on screen. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And now another scripture to the church, to Christ's bride, to every one of us. Revelation 21, verse 2. Let's read this. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. So be a person of faith, beautiful, outside and inside, with the fear of God, praising God, appreciating, but also restraining it for the glory of God. And the second thing about Rebecca that teaches to be a person of faith is about her hard-working servanthood. A woman of faith is a hard-working servant. From the scripture here, verses 16b to 20, it says, Rebecca went down to the spring, filled her jar, and come out again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, please give me a little water from your jar. Drink, my lord, she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. And after she had given him a drink, she said, I'll draw water for your camels too until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all his camels. Now, camels, they drink a lot of water. It's big. Okay? And keep in mind, this servant, Eliezer, the chief servant of Abraham, who sent his servant to faraway land to find the proper wife for his son Isaac. Now, This servant had 10 camels with him, and each, okay, approximately was capable of drinking 20 to 25 gallons of water, okay, after a long trip. So you make the math. 20 to 25 gallons each camel, 10 camels. Now, average water jar can contain 5 gallons of water, okay? 5 gallons of water. 10 camels need a total of what? You did the math? 200 to 250 gallons of water. That's a lot of water. Now, Rebecca might have made 40 to 50 trips to the well to provide enough water for the camels, running back and forth, right? And we are told she did it quickly. So she did it, she ran again and again to complete the task to give all the camels, okay, enough water to drink. So we see the character, a wonderful character of this woman of faith or any person of faith. She's not only beautiful outside, morally pure, she's a hard-working woman. She has a servant's heart, full of kindness, graciousness, generosity, right? So, two implications of that. One is that Rebecca is a very needed model for girls, for women to follow today. Because Rebecca did not rely on her, let me say it again. Rebecca did not rely on her outward beauty to get her, to get by life. Rather, to develop a godly character by what? Serving others. Reaching out in kindness and giving graciously, abundantly to others. Right? That is an inward beauty of seeing someone who possessed that servanthood selflessly. Right? Another point is that Rebecca gave us a foreshadow of another servant with a big capital S, the servant of all, our Lord Jesus, who will not only pour out his living water to all everyone who thirsts, but who will pour out his life for all our souls. Because he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve others. So, a person of faith, a hard-working servant possessing that. And the third thing Rebecca teaches us about a person of faith is that she trusts fully in God's sovereign plan. Okay. Now, from a passage, the chief servant, Eliezer, his mission from his master Abraham was to find a wife for Isaac, Abraham's son, from among Abraham's relative living back in today's is Turkish Syrian area, but 400 miles far away. So in verses 23-24, Abraham asked his servants to say, I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I'm living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. Why is that important? Because Abraham's family and relatives believed in the one true God. That is why important. So different from everybody else that lived in Canaan in that time. So after Eliezer watched Rebecca, beautiful, kind, hardworking, and so forth, he asked a $6 million question. Is she from among Abraham's relatives? Because that's the guideline his master Abraham gave him, right? And then, so that's why he asked, whose daughter are you? And then Rebecca answered him, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son that Milcah bore to Nabal. Bingo. That's the perfect match. That's the right one. She's the right one for Isaac back home. So here we see a spiritual principle that the Lord finds the right husband or wife for the person who looks to the Lord and trusts in him. God has arranged this marriage from 400 miles away, even before social media was invented, even before eHarmony and Match.com ever invented. The principle here is that our great and wise God will arrange every detail of our lives, including who our spouse will be. So let us trust Him. Amen? Trust in the Lord and acknowledge Him in every way. He will direct your path. And then Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 said, my God will meet your needs according to His what? Glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So trust Him. Now, let me also, my heart is also go out for some people whose God's perfect will for them is singleness, or perhaps becoming a widow or widower. God told Jeremiah not to take a wife. God told Paul to remain a widower. And Jesus was unmarried on earth. You see, God's sovereign plan is perfect. Maybe different for everybody in terms of earthly relationship. But let's remember that marriage also in itself is not cure all for our life's problem. For all sisters and friends who are single. Remember, marriage is not cure all for every problem in your life. That's the wrong conception. That's the myth that one would carry when he or she step into marriage. Right? So we must not turn either marriage or singleness into idols. Only God, the Lord, can completely satisfy us, and only He can ultimately give us exactly who and what we need. Amen? So let's trust Him. And Rebecca, yes, exactly is who Isaac needs to complete him, because in verses 64 and 67, it said, do I have the scripture here? Rebecca also looked up and saw Isaac, as this telling Rebecca follow the servant of Abraham back to 400 miles, back to Abraham's place, and met Isaac. And the scripture said, Rebecca looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, who is that man in the field coming to meet us? He's my master, the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Now, this is where you get accustomed. When you get married, the bride being veiled, walk down the aisle, you know. And then the servant told Isaac all he had done. And then Isaac brought Rebekah into the tent of his mother Sarah. And Isaac married Rebekah. So she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's Sarah's death. So God is a super good and wise. Here's Isaac out in the field one evening, and then this camel caravan arrives. He sees Rebecca, and she veils, so he cannot tell what she looked like. But the servants tell him everything that has happened and how the Lord has sovereignly arranged all the details, and how this woman was beautiful, hardworking, and willing to come. And then Isaac married Rebecca, and that Isaac loved Rebecca, and that Isaac finally was comforted, you know. Marriage is the foundation for love. So before Isaac fall into romantic feeling about Rebecca, because Rebecca was covering her face, right? He couldn't see how beautiful she was or not. But already that trust in God fully of God's sovereign plan already prompt him to make the commitment to trust in the Lord. So let me say this. Romantic feeling may get you started. Okay, and keep it interesting. Okay, enjoyable certainly is important, but only commitment to marriage can make love everlasting. A German theologian, also a Christian martyr, Bonhoeffer, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he said, "It is not your love that sustains the marriage, but from now on, the marriage sustains your love." Because God knows exactly the specific woman that Isaac needs to complete him. It's not that Isaac needs to search the world to find just the right person. No, God brought to him was the one I said Mary, and she was the right one. So what should, as before Isaac met Rebecca, what was he doing? He was preparing himself to be the right spouse. If you read the scripture of that passage, Isaac was in the field meditating on the love and the compassion of God. And then he lifted up his eye and he saw Rebecca. He was preparing himself spiritually. Okay? And fourthly, a person of faith, a woman of faith. What does Rebecca teach us? Submission gladly to the Lord's will. Okay? In verse 58. Why do I think Rebecca submitted to the Lord's will? Because here we see, and we read, that Rebecca was willing to leave her family and country and travel 400 miles to marry a man she had never met. So they called Rebecca and asked her, "Will you go with this man?" "I will go," she said. Okay. The big question is why? Did she want to escape her family problems, run away? Was she tired of living under the family's tent? Or her brother Laban, perhaps? But it's significant how God, the Lord, sovereignly led Eliezer, the servant, to Rebekah, and it's repeated in that passage, chapter 24, twice. Okay? The whole thing is repeated twice. And the central figure is God, the sovereign Lord. So I think Rebekah is deeply impressed by how the Lord is in complete control of all the details of her life, knowing deeply her desire and wishes and prayers. And that's how she realized that this is the way of the Lord. This is how he guided me, how he gone to answer my prayers. And she decides that you need to bow down before the Lord's will and submit to God, the sovereign Lord. Because she learned about how God answered Eliezer the servant's prayer. She realized her action is exactly what Eliezer was looking for and praying for. And he watched as Eliezer the servant worshiped the Lord, and she hears as the story about how God in the whole drama, that how the Lord has blessed Abraham, his master. Okay, God the Lord is the one who grants success. You know, so everything Rebecca heard, meditate, ponder upon it, and then analyze and what Lord in her minds about her prayer, her wishes, her circumstances, how her heart devoted to the Lord, all this, and she come to the sense that she dawned her, that's the Lord's will. So there's little surprise when Rebecca is asked by her family members, she want to go. She said, "Yes, I will go." Okay? So the application. I will go. Submitting to God's will. Is this something that you have said to the Lord? Is he calling you to leave behind something and to submit to his will? Leave behind your self-righteousness, perhaps. Your stubbornness, perhaps. Or your control over your life, perhaps. Or self-pity, perhaps. Leave that behind. Submit to God's will. And respond by saying, "Yes, Lord, I will go." Are you clinging to your old sense idols of security, of comfort, idols of control? The Lord is willing to reveal his sovereign will to us, his mercy, his goodness to every one of us, so that you, like Rebecca, can submit gladly, willingly, amazingly to him completely. And last but not least, what does Rebecca teach us about a person of faith? A woman of faith will be fully blessed for her obedience. That's the happy ending. With the Lord God in our lives, everything will work out good for those who love the Lord, Romans 8. In here, the passage says, so they send their sister Rebecca on her way, along with her nurse and Abraham's servant, Eliezer, and his man, and they bless Rebecca and send to her, "Our sister, may you increase in thousands upon thousands, may your offspring possess the gates of their enemies." Now, what is so significant about this blessing is that it is exactly the same blessing that the Lord God gave to Abraham after he was ready to offer up his son Isaac on the altar, as recorded in Genesis 22. God promised Abraham, because of your act of obedience, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. As the sand on the seashore, your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. You see, the way God blessed Abraham for his obedience is the same way God blessed Rebecca for her obedience. And yes, now Rebecca's family is blessing her. And as she also leaves her family and travels to a new land by faith and is willing to submit God's will, even marrying to a man she has never met 400 miles away. That's the faith of Rebecca. Not because of what she sees, what she can analyze, but who she trusts. That's her faith. But also is God's grace, I believe, helping her to respond to all that is been showing her about God. Okay? That God is faithful in all things. That He is sovereign over every detail. So if you wonder if God really can use you, if your life can really make an eternal significance, if you can become a person of faith, if you can walk on this earth by faith, not by sight, if you can really trust God in completing your life with your desire and wishes and prayers that are noble, that are eternal, just think about what God did to Rebecca. And remember on this Mother's Day that you are His, are God's, and God loves you. And He gave His Son for you. And you are precious, and you are beautiful, and you are handsome in God's sight, in Christ, because God never make mistake. You, to God, are a remarkable masterpiece. Amen? May this blessing be upon you all. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Allow your word to dwell in us, in our heart richly. As we grow in your word, help us to always be obedient and to trust you to your perfect will in every area of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.